You guys want to know what it's all about? Cheyenne, you want to come up here? Cheyenne is going to share with us what it's all about. Cheyenne, you did a little bit of memorization this week, is that right?
Yeah.
You want to share with us? What did you memorize?
The books about in the Bible.
Okay, well, let's see. Let's put you to the test. Ready?
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, and Nehemiah.
Good job. The girls have been working with the kids down there. That's awesome. That's what it's all about. Okay, kids 12 and under, you can go downstairs. Okay, adults, if you're honest, how many of you can go that far? All right. That's good stuff. We're in Hebrews chapter 4, if you want to turn over there. Hebrews chapter 4. We started on this message last week, and we only got through the first two verses out of 13. So hopefully I have a better track record than that this week. And we can get through the rest of the verses. But let's go ahead and open up our message with prayer first and invite the Holy Spirit. Father in heaven, Lord, we love you and we just thank you so much for your word. God, we just pray that you would help us to receive this word today. And God, please give me the power and the boldness to preach this word with all of its truth. Please meet with us, Lord. We're not worthy to receive this word. I'm not worthy to preach it. But God, you've called us to both hear and teach your word. And so, Father, I pray that you would meet with us today and help us to accomplish that task. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of the entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom he must give account. I was listening to a very well-known pastor the other day, and talking about these passages, he said these are some of the most difficult passages to understand in the Bible. He said, you know, they're very, very deep, and you can't understand them without great exegesis and study and prayer and the Holy Spirit. the first thing that came to my mind was, I don't really think it's that hard to figure out. I think there's a very simple concept. If you look here, there's a very clear-cut and simple concept. And what is that? Don't come short of coming to salvation. Don't come short of that through disbelief. That's really what this is all about. It's not any more complicated than that. Now, there's a lot of truth here, and we can dig and we can draw out a lot of truth, and I could bore you to death with all the exegesis and Greek and original tenses and all that stuff, and we could be here for 3 or 4 weeks, but really that's the simple message that's here. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, all the church going, all the good acts, the good services, and all of that stuff, if it's not mixed with faith, it's pointless. It means nothing. And that's the simple exhortation that we get out of this. And we saw the illustration presented of the nation of Israel last week being brought out of Egypt. And how, you know, they saw all the signs, they saw all the wonders, all the miracles that God performed. And He divided the Red Sea and they went through that. And they saw the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of flame by night, you know, covering over them. All these miracles, God was working in the midst of them, and they received the law, and they thought because they were God's chosen people that that was good enough. But yet we saw that because it wasn't mixed with faith, that they were all doomed to die in the wilderness. And they died in the desert, shamefully so. Everyone 20 years old and older, though the promise had been preached to them, and told them the promise of that rest, if they would just believe, because of their unbelief, they did not receive that. And that is the illustration for the would-be Christian who comes to church, goes through the motions, but never commits his heart in belief. Listen, that's the heeding. That's the warning here. Don't be like them. Don't go through the motions and never mix it with belief. Don't. But this week I was reminded of the general theme of Hebrews. What's the general theme of Hebrews? The superiority of Jesus Christ, right? Then you look at that, I mean, that's really the theme of the whole entire Bible. I mean, we say that's a, you know, Hebrews directly, but really the whole Bible speaks about Christ in some way. I mean, everything, if you look at it, you read your passage and you say, what does this tell me about Christ? Because whatever it is, it's telling you something about Christ. And so as I was going through these passages, rather than just pick up where I left off last week and just finishing out that message, I thought I'd take a different approach. I'd say, what does this passage have to tell us about Jesus Christ? What does this passage have to tell us about Jesus Christ? And I came out with a 5-point outline. He invites, He saves, He limits, He is absolute, and He knows and He sees all. He invites, He saves, He limits, He is absolute, and He knows and He sees all. Let's look at the first point there. He invites. Look at verse 2. He invites. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Does any of us here have an excuse not to receive the gospel? Do any of us here have an excuse not to receive the gospel? Can we say that we have not heard the gospel? No. How many people here have not heard the gospel? Exactly. The gospel's been preached. It was preached to them. It's been preached to us. There's no excuse, really. Even if you haven't heard the gospel per se, the book of Romans says that everyone has received the gospel because it's written in them. I love to use that passage. It's Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. And when I'm talking, going door to door, and I run into an atheist, I like to tell him, you know, I know deep down you're not really an atheist. Deep down you believe in God. And I'll, oh, really? I say, yeah, the Bible tells me that, so I know it's true. I know deep down you do, and that you aren't rejecting, it's not that you don't believe in God, it's that you reject God. And they'll always try to sidetrack because they know I'm right. Now, once in a while, you might run into somebody who want to argue with you. But the truth is, nobody has not heard the gospel in some way. I mean, the conscience, it's there. You've heard it. How many of you had to be told it was wrong to lie before you knew it was wrong to lie? How many of you had to be told it was wrong to steal before you knew it was wrong to steal? No, our conscience bearing witness, excusing or else accusing one another. We know God has written His truth in our heart, and the gospel has been preached. The gospel has been preached. But look at that. It says, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them." God has given us the gospel, but it says, listen, "But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." Didn't do them any good. You know what that says? It's saying it doesn't do any good to hear the gospel if it's not going to be mixed with faith. It doesn't do you any good. Listen, you can come into church. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. It doesn't do you any good. You can come in here, you can kind of sit and turn away from the world and walk in and try to live a good life and try to come into church and do all the right things. But listen, it doesn't do any good if it's not mixed with faith. It's like getting pulled over by a police officer. And a police officer, as he comes up to your window, says, "Do you have any idea how fast you were going?" And you say, "Well, yes, officer, I knew quite well how fast I was going. And in fact, I knew the law. I know it very well. In fact, I'm a lawyer, and I understand very clearly exactly how much the fine is. And if you give me such and such a ticket, then it's got to be this amount. I know all of that. And in fact, I probably know it better than you." Is the officer going to let you off because you knew the law? No, he's not. And that makes you all the more guilty. That makes you all the more responsible. Listen, going to church, learning the gospel, learning the truth, doesn't mean anything if you don't mix it with faith. Just like knowing the law isn't going to get you out of that ticket if you don't obey the law. You hear? He invites, and He saves. And He saves. That's so good. Look at verse 3. "For we who have believed do enter that rest." For we who have believed do enter that rest. As He has said, listen, the rest is there. God saves you. If you will call upon Him, He will save you. That's the truth. I mean, you look at that and you say, "Well, you know, I want to solve my own situation. You know, I've got it all figured out. And if I do A, B, C, D, it's going to equal E. And, you know, I got my own situation figured out." And you know what? It never works. It never works out. And so because of all the turmoil, because of you putting your trust in the wrong place, the wrong thing, the madness of it all is you keep trying to do the same things and you keep getting the same result. And for some reason, we look at that and we say, "Well, if I can't figure it out, God certainly doesn't have the solution." That's madness. God does have the solution. There is a rest in Christ. If you will just believe, if you will just put your trust in Him, His efforts aren't the same as ours. His efforts aren't the same as ours. If you will just give Him your trust, if you will just give Him your belief, He will take care of your situation. That's what this says. You know, there's something beautiful here I want you to see. In the Greek tense, I know you guys love that. "For we," what's that? Give it to us, good. "For we who have believed." That's the Greek aorist. "Who have believed." The Greek aorist is a completed action. It's not necessarily the past. It's a completed action. Thank goodness it's not always the past. Because when He wrote this, have you believed yet? No. But the point is here is those of us who have completely believed. Those of us who have completed that action of belief. It's a completed action. Then He says, those of us, "For we who have believed," who have completed that belief, "do enter that rest." That's in the present case. Do enter. And in the Greek, the present case means you continually enter. Now, why do I bring that out? What does it matter? Why does that matter? It matters for this reason. If you've believed one time completed action, you do continually enter that rest. You see? See what I'm drawing there? There is no working for your salvation. There is no continual, God, I hope I don't blow it today and go to hell. Once you're saved, you're saved. It's a one-time completed action. You put your trust in the Lord. You commit wholeheartedly to them. That produces works that continue from there forward. But it is done. It is complete. And from there forward, you enter His rest. You see that? Gosh, that's beautiful. Look at verse 10. He expounds on that. He says, "For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God has from his." See that? At the work. You don't have to worry about the turmoil. You don't have to worry about whether or not it's going to work out. You don't have to worry about any of that. If you're saved, you're saved. And you enter God's rest. Listen. He calls. And He does save. But here's the warning. He also limits. He also limits. Look at verse 7. Again, He designates a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after such a long time, as it has been written, today," when? "Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." Well, what's the point of that? The Greek word there for designates is horizo. It means to mark out the boundaries. How many people here are reading from a King James? Okay, in the King James, you'll see that doesn't say He designates. That says He limits. And that's a better word there. It says He limits a day. And He limits a certain day, saying in David, "Today, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear My voice, do not harden your hearts." Don't put off salvation until tomorrow. Do it today. God has a limit. You know, that sounds so messed up. I don't want to go off and say, well, you know, God has a limit, and if you didn't get in on it at the ground floor, you've missed out on it, because that's not true. But the point is this. You never know when your time is up. Don't put it off. Look, I went in for a haircut yesterday, and I told him to take a little bit off the top. And, man, I take my glasses off when they're cutting my hair. I put my glasses on, and what happened? It was too late. And no matter how much I pleaded and I wept and I wanted my hair back, give me my hair back. It was done. That was it. There was no getting my hair back, you see. I'm glad I can laugh about that. That poor lady felt so bad. When your time is up, it's up. Jesus says, "I'm going to come as a thief in the night." You don't know when your number's up. You know, people think they got all their life in front of them. They think, you know, I've got 20, 30, 40 years in front of them. How many people die every day that thinks they got 20, 30 years in front of them? You don't know. You're not guaranteed another minute. So He limits a day. He says, listen, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. The Holy Spirit is calling you now. Do it while it is today. Call upon the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says it this way. If you want to turn over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For He says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not when you get a good plan, not when you work to be good enough to be accepted by God, as if such a thing were ever possible. Today is the day. Now is the time. Listen. When your time is up, it's up. When your time is up, it's up. Great, profound words that are so simple. You think you got all this time in front of you to call upon Jesus? You don't have another minute. Do it today. And he says in verse 11 in Hebrews, let us therefore be diligent. What does that mean, to be diligent? What does that mean? If somebody says you're doing a diligent job, it means to reach out, to grasp for it with all your might. Reach for it. He says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Listen. Seize the moment. While He is calling you, while it is called today, reach out for Jesus Christ. Don't wait for situation to be any more perfect, because it's never going to be more perfect than right now. That's what he's saying. And what he's really saying is, listen, don't do like your fathers did and go through all the motions and go through all of that trouble and die in misery and die in your damnation because you refused to enter His rest when all it took was faith and His ability to deliver you. Real complicated message? I think not. Very, very simple. Well, He calls, He saves, He limits. And listen, His word is absolute. Look at verse 12. I look at this verse and I say, what is this verse doing here? It doesn't really fit with the whole flow of things, right? Look at verse 12. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's like, what? It's almost like he stopped in the middle of what he was doing. He was given this great exegesis, you know, expounding this expository preaching on this event that happened with the Israel and going through their Exodus and their inability to put their faith in God. And, you know, listen, to the exhortation is to trust in Him today. And, you know, he goes on and expounds on David's psalm, and he really goes into detail, and then he stops in the middle of it and says, where the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And you're like, where does that come from? Why is that there? Listen, this is what he's saying. God is absolute on this. His word. Don't think you're going to negotiate with God on that day of judgment. Don't you think, yeah, I know His word said this, but God, really, you know, if you look at my background and where I come from and what I've gone through and everything else and all the good things I've done, yeah, I know I didn't really mix it with faith or whatever, but God, come on, let's negotiate here. Like you go to a car lot and you say, yeah, the price says $14,000, but what does that really mean? It's not like that. Listen, the Word of God is absolute. It is final. And it says you better put your trust in Him when? While it is called today. You look at that word there, sword. When we think of the Word of God, what do we think of? Like this big broadsword, right? You see this big, mighty broadsword with a double-edged. And I mean, he's going to hack something. You know, it's a symbol of power. That's not the word used here. That word there is rompheia. Rompheia, that's a big broadsword. This word here, this is Machaira. This is Machaira. Machaira was of a short dagger. a piercing short dagger, and it was used to bone out your game after you hunted. Now, you'd use this knife because it was very, very sharp, and it was a dagger, and you could just really get up against the bone and clean it out and separate the joints. And really, there's this picture of terror here. I mean, we read that verse and we take that verse and we say, you know, the Word of God is a source. I mean, it's living. It's a source of nourishment. You know, it's always continually working, and that's good. And we say it's powerful. You know, it gives you boldness if you rely on the Word of God and conviction and teaching and instruction. And that's all good, but that's not how it's pictured here. Here, the Word of God is pictured as a source of terror. Listen. When your time is up, it's up. And it's final. Don't put it off another day. If you don't have entrusted in Jesus Christ to save you, if you have never really committed to Him, if all your church experience is going to church and sitting through a sermon and listening to the pastor, kind of Charlie Brown style, wah, 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 and you leave those doors not being any different, not having the Word come through you and change you, and you walk out of those doors, listen, if you die, you will die in your sin. That's the warning here. And the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Listen, there is no negotiating. God will use His Word in that day to judge you. And if you don't have the covering of Jesus Christ, I don't care how good you are, there is no hope. Some of us think, well, maybe I can be good enough to kind of fool God. Maybe if I go through all the motions, I can convince God that I got the message. And to that he says this in verse 13, "And there is no creature or creation hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." And what's that saying there is, don't you think that for one moment you're going to fool God into thinking that your faith is sincere and true if it's not. Don't you think that for some reason, if you sort of just turn away from the world and kind of start heading in the right direction, and you start going to church and being nice to people and adopt those models, I don't drink, I don't chew, and I don't go with girls who do. If you got that kind of mentality, don't you think that you're going to fool God into thinking that you had a loving relationship? Because listen, God knows His own. And He knows us better than we know ourselves. And that is the truth of His Word. And when you're standing in front of Him, I guarantee you, He is going to know exactly where you're at in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Look back at verse 1. I want you to look at that verse. Something interesting to me as I read this in the Greek. If you look there, it says, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to come short of it." Interesting thing is in Greek, they don't have exclamation marks or periods or punctuation or any of that in the Greek. If they want to emphasize something, how do they do it? Word order, right? If I want to emphasize something in the Greek, because they didn't have any of that. Everything was capital letters in the original. I want to emphasize something, I put it first. Here, if you look, the word there, "let us fear," the words there, that comes from one Greek word. "Let us fear," the root of that is phobeo. It's where we get phobia from. It means to be terrified. That kind of shows up in the middle of the verse, but not in the Greek. In the Greek, that is the very first word in this sentence, in this passage. In the Greek, "let us fear," one word, phobeo, is the very first word. What's he saying? If you do not get anything else from this passage, if nothing else shines through, get this. Fear. Fear. Don't fear if you're saved. You don't have to fear. You don't have to worry about losing your salvation. That's not what it's saying. It's saying if you're not saved, fear. Fear. If you don't know for sure that your neighbor or your loved one or whatever is saved, fear. Because listen, when the time is up, it's up. I want to conclude with the same verse that I did last week, just to give you this promise. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. I don't know why I turned there. I can quote this. This is one of our memory verses in soul winning. But you know, it's not all bad. If you have a message of doom and gloom and listen, you better listen up or else, you know, damnation is coming and in the hellfire and brimstone and all that. That has to be preached because that's true. And if I don't tell you and you don't turn, I don't want your blood to be on my hands. But listen, here's the good news. Here's the promise. He says this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Three Greek words make up that word, that one word. Hos, every kind. All forms of declension. Hos, whoever, whatever. And on, which is intranslatable, but it makes it contingent on this thing. Shall call upon the name of the Lord. Listen. You say, maybe you say, you know, you don't know what I've done. I've been bad. I am a sinner and I've done something that I don't believe God can really forgive me for. And Pastor, you just don't get that. You don't understand that. I'll tell you this. Paul said this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came to die for sinners of whom I am chief. And one person out there is a worse sinner than Paul. He persecuted the church. He had Christians put to death. He was as bad as they get. And yet, what did God do with Paul? He used him mightily. He wrote over half the book of the New Testament. Half of the New Testament, excuse me, books. Listen, whosoever means whosoever. And if you answer that call, God will save you today. Don't put it off another day. Now you say, well, Pastor, I'm already saved. This message doesn't really apply to me. Baloney. Because you have loved ones. You have people you care about. And you know they're not saved. Understand that this is a serious, serious thing. And you should be working at it every day to understand or to get them saved. And you may already be saved, and maybe your loved ones are all taken care of, but listen, it all comes down to the same thing, which is what? Faith. And I don't care unless you're Jesus Christ Himself. There is something that you have not given over to Christ yet, and you can. And so listen, while it is called today, give that over to Christ. Whatever that is. And that's the message here in Hebrews. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Father, I pray that if anyone here is not saved, God, that they would have the boldness to come forward. God, pick them up out of that chair and bring them forward to receive your goodness and your truth. Father, if there's anyone here that has something that they need to bring forward and they turn over to you and just, God, give to you in prayer. God, I pray that you would bring them forward. I pray that this message would not go dead, God, but it would speak directly to our hearts. Father, we love you. We just pray for your Holy Spirit to do His work. Listen, at this time, as Nolan plays, I'm going to give an invitation. If you've got anything that you want to bring forward, if you don't know for sure that you're saved, I ask you to come forward at this time and we'll take care of that.